My text is taken from that passage, that I might finish my course with joy. The last lap in athletics is always signaled by the ringing of a bell, so that the athletes know just how far they've still got to go. But in life, I'm afraid, there is no such warning, and we never know how near to or far from the finishing line we may be. Or to put it another way, we're all of us together in the departure lounge. We don't know when the plane will come, early or late, though some of us have a pretty shrewd idea that we haven't very long to wait. So to that extent, we're all of us in the last lap. And that's why Paul found himself when he said that he wanted to finish his course with joy, a sentiment and a wish which I'm sure all of us share. In one way, of course, we shall finish the course with regret, as we bid farewell for the last time to much-loved friends and scenes. I think it was Dr. Johnson, going round some beautiful country estate, was heard to say, "This is what makes it so difficult to die." Yes, there is that note of regret, and some, of course, will finish the course with relief, because it will put an end to weeks, months, perhaps years of suffering, pain, and distress. And if you read the life of Paul, I think you'll find that he experienced, to some extent, both those emotions. But the overriding one, the predominant one, was that he might finish his course with joy, as he looked back with gratitude and love for all that God had done for him, as he looked up with confidence and faith, and as he looked forward with triumphant hope. Nor must we forget that it was during the last lap, those last 2 years of his life, that Paul's great ambition was accomplished and the gospel was firmly planted in the city of Rome. So, for all of us, the last lap, the closing years, can be a profitable time, full of pleasure and delight, of opportunity and service. And we need to make this our prayer. Now, as the shadows start to fall, grant that there may be still some evening work for me to do, some purpose to fulfill. Now, this aspect of old age I shall try to deal with next Sunday morning, but today I want to concentrate on the downside of old age, its problems and its difficulties. Well, the first and most obvious problem we encounter is physical. We begin to realize that there are things that we can no longer do, or if we can do them at all, they take 5 times longer to complete. We become increasingly dependent upon other people, and I'm slowly learning to eliminate from my vocabulary the words I can manage, and to accept humbly and gratefully the help which is so graciously and willingly offered, frequently by complete strangers, and there's no way of rewarding them except with a word of gratitude and the best smile I can manage. And I've learned, too, how churlish it is to brush aside an offer of help. And I remember how Jesus made himself the debtor of the woman at the well at Sychar. Instead of offering her some miraculous drink, he asked her to provide one for him. It's salutary, too, whatever our physical afflictions may be, to think of those who suffer far greater disabilities, and very often at a much younger age than we do ourselves, and to see what we can do to relieve them with our prayers and our help and our gifts. And old age also brings mental problems. I'm not thinking so much of mental illness or dementia, but that we're apt to become forgetful and distray and prove rather a frustrating nuisance to other people. I think we can, to some extent, help ourselves here by keeping our minds alert and active. The law of atrophy means that what we don't use, we lose. And a mind that's left unoccupied will quickly vegetate and deteriorate. I try to solve a chess problem and a crossword puzzle every day to keep my mind alert. And it's a very helpful tip, I think, too, to learn things by heart. Poetry, perhaps, or sections of the Bible. See, for example, if you can memorize the first four verses of the book of Hebrews in the King James Version, which is one of the finest pieces of translation that there is in the whole Bible. Or again, what about the first 14 verses of St. John's Gospel, the Christmas prologue? That sort of discipline is a great help, not only, of course, mentally, but spiritually as well. I turn now to the social problems of old age. Old age begins and middle age ends the day your descendants outnumber your friends. How true I'm finding that to be. One by one, my old school friends and Cambridge friends drop off the perch, and their place is taken by funny little bald-headed, toothless infants who claim to be my great-great-nephews and nieces. We hear a lot, don't we, about the loneliness of the long-distance runner, and it must be particularly acute as he enters the last lap. And old age can be a very lonely time, especially for those who have lost a husband or wife with whom they have lived so happily for perhaps 40 or 50 years. But here again, I think to some degree we can help ourselves. We can become recluse, wallowing in the pains and the pleasures of solitude. Or we can launch out, make new friends, or revive friendships that have lapsed. Again, some people have thought that the best form of retirement is to get away to some remote part of the world which they enjoyed so much for a number of happy holidays. But it doesn't always work. They find that the friends they make on holiday are not quite so congenial when they've got to meet them every day. The church doesn't measure up to their expectations, and they have found sometimes that it's best to return to familiar haunts, which they begin to wish they'd never left. There's a splendid old man in the Old Testament called Barzillai, a Gileadite, who lived in what I suppose came to be known as Transjordania. He was a very wealthy farmer. He was a great help to David, the king, when David was forced to flee from Jerusalem during Absalom's insurrection. He met him and he provided him with any amount of provisions and equipment. And when the rebellion was over, David, never one to forget a kindness, tried to persuade him to come back to Jerusalem and look after him there as a kind of courtier, I suppose. But Barzillai, no doubt realizing how out of place he would feel at Jerusalem, and not wanting to be a burden at his age, 80 years old, to the king, begged to be allowed to finish his days among his own people. He escorted the king home across the Jordan, and then he returned with the king's blessing to his own people and friends. One of the great institutions in this parish is the coffee bar. For lonely people, I've heard it described as a lifeline. And I personally, I think, would miss it more than almost anything else if I were forced to leave Crowborough. If you're lonely, do come and make use of it. And even if you're not lonely, come to encourage those who are and find other lonely people who can come. Of course, 10:30 to 12 are what I would call luxury hours, and quite out of the question for busy working people. They can rarely get there except perhaps at a weekend. On the other hand, people come from outside the parish altogether. And only this last week I was talking to someone who'd come from quite far afield and was wondering whether to settle here at All Souls. I said, you'll find that we talk sometimes together, sometimes in large groups, about every subject under the sun, frivolous and serious. That, he said, is as it should be. I thank God that it was ever started years ago, and for those men and women who voluntarily do all the serving and the preparation. And I thank God that over the years it's grown so strongly and become an indispensable asset to church life. I'm reminded of those closing words of The Soldier by Rupert Brooke, which I think fit rather well. Laughter learnt of friends and gentleness in hearts at peace under an English heaven. Finally, there are the spiritual dangers of old age, for we're never out of range of Satan's artillery. And he would love to bring down people, clergy amongst others, at the last fence in the last lap. We've got to be on our guard the whole time. But not only that, old age can make us a bit crabby and sour and cynical. One, the sort of person who other people have to excuse and are obliged to suffer. How careful, therefore, as Christians we must be to maintain the spiritual glow. There's no such thing as retirement in the Christian life. To the very end, we must grow in grace and in the knowledge and fear of the Lord. And old age gives us the chance to do so, more than when we're heavily committed with business and family responsibilities. There's the chance to read, to have a book of Christian doctrine or devotion, always on the go. And then there's good biography. After all, if we're going to meet Luther, Tyndale, Bunyan, Wesley, and Wilberforce in heaven, it would be sensible to get to know a little bit about them down here, quite apart from the example and the experience that they set and that we can follow. When the Emperor Franz Joseph of Austria died in the middle of World War I, it was feared that the death of one who was so revered and had reigned for so long would destroy the morale of the Austro-Hungarian Empire. And so they explained his absence from Vienna, not by announcing his death, but by saying that he had gone to an undisclosed destination. Let us so live that when we die, people will rejoice. Not that we've gone, but that they know where we have gone. That's what it means, I think, what Paul meant when he talked all those years ago about finishing his course with joy. I forget where I read these lines. They certainly are not my own. May I grow lovely, growing old, so many fine things do, silver and ivory and gold, and silks need not be new. And there is healing in old trees, old streets a glamour hold. Why may not I, as well as these, grow lovely, growing old? Amen.